dead, torn, moist.
Proudly sponsored by stms.studio for all your merch and printing needs.
Proud patron of Ian's Chain Charity, helping to save lives together.
Hey, hello.
Hiya, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right as well, yeah. Not bad.
You know what I love? I love the fact that at 29, you joined my Zoom just to check it was working. That's a big brownie point right there.
I was stressing about it before it went on. I was like, yo, it doesn't work. And then I'm like, a minute late. That stuff gets on my nerves a lot. So
yeah, but to be fair, a minute before, I mean, you know, I credit to you, though. It worked, so you've got away with it this time. I love it. As soon as I saw your name, I was like, interesting. There he is. And then when I joined, you weren't there. I was like, has he stubbed me up? And then here you are.
What happened was it got rid of it. Because I had to say okay to being recorded.
Oh, okay. Oh, did it? Oh, is that what it says?
Yeah, it was like, are you okay with being recorded? I was like, yeah.
Oh, obviously. Good. I'm glad it asked for permission then. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, there you go. I learn something new every day. I just assumed it just recorded and that was that.
Well, it let me.
Said no.
Yeah, I probably, you would be sat there.
But... Imagine, do you want an interview with Twisted, Torn and Moist? Yes. Would you want to be recorded? No. Well, you can't interview then. That's ace. Well, welcome to my show. So you're in a band called The Tarrows.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes. Sammy's roster is incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, she's an incredible lady. I've spoken to her that many times. I don't know if you've listened to any of our chats. It's great. We're just like two best friends that just knock about and just have a good time together. It's mint.
No, Sammy's great, yeah.
Yeah,
she's doing great. So much for us. It's real, like, it's made us, like, be a lot more professional, which is nice. But it's not professional in a way that's boring.
Yeah, absolutely. But
she does so much stuff.
Good. That's what we like. So tell me a bit about your band. You've got a very punky sound. It's great.
Yeah, we're a three-piece. We're from Bedford. We've been playing together for 2 to 3 years, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, sort of since lockdown ended. It was around then. I can't remember when lockdown ended. Oh, well, I have no idea. I have no idea how long we've been together. But we've been playing for a little while. And, we record all of our own music ourselves. We do it in my shed, in my garden. We're all sort of like a homegrown thing. That's our main sort of, and we want to be the best band in the world, hopefully.
All right. Okay. Well, so you're setting the standards high then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to, because then if you high, then even if you miss, you'll still be somewhere high up.
Yeah, you might just, what if you overshoot it though? You might end up like orbiting the Earth.
Best band in the galaxy.
Yeah, could you imagine? Well, do you know what? Firstly, I've got to say that, you know, the sky's your limit. And it's really good that you've set your hopes out for that because, you know, otherwise, why are you doing it? If you don't want to be somewhere, why are you doing it? I know, obviously, you're having fun. You're not in it for the money because we've already established on my podcast that bands aren't getting a lot of money for doing what they're doing. In fact, you end up with quite a lot of debt for doing what you're doing.
Sometimes, yeah. If you don't, if you're not careful, it can really do you in. You've got to do it for the love of the game, the love of it. And that's it. That's the only thing you can do it for now. And then maybe you'll get, you know, something out of it in the future. But it's addictive. It's addictive. Doing it is addictive. It's like, I realized this. Like, I do it so much. I go out when I do it. So I play the gig, but I'm, you know, I go out wherever I've gone. And I just, now I go out and I have, if I go out and I haven't got a gig, I feel weird. I'm like, well, I'm out, but I'm not playing anything. Like, it was wrong. Everyone needs to start clapping or something so I can get it. I can have a good time.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
You can tell. I've got 10 years on you, mate. And let me tell you, when you get to my age, even staying awake for the headline band is just a no-go. Like, you know, at 22, I was the same as you. I was touring with bands. I was, you know, having a right good time. And then I don't know what happened. I think it was like 25 hit me. And all of a sudden I woke up with the world's worst hangover. And I had to ask Google, Dr. Google. I was like, can you die from a hangover? Yes or no? Honestly, I was verging on calling 111. I felt that rough. I was like, when does it just not become a hangover? When does it become something more? My poor head. It took me like 4 days to recover. So, you know what? Make the most of it now, because you'll wake up one day and all of a sudden you go, am I dying? Like, this is really bad.
That's the plan. That is the plan. I've got to get in now.
Just think about it. When you take on a headline gig, you just think of us oldies that aren't going to be there. And when you see us walking out, just feel sorry for us because we have to go nanites.
That was one time I did feel bad. We did a headline show at Esquire's, which is our like local venue. And we made it like such a big thing. I think we had like five bands on the thing. So we ended up going on really late. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know if anyone's still going to be here. But thankfully they were. Actually, it was a really good show. I mean, Sammy set it up, so she did a great job. Thankfully everyone was still there. But I remember thinking, like, fucking hell, it was getting a bit, it's cracking on.
Festivals abroad do it. Festivals abroad play all the way through the night. Some of them.
They should. It's more, it's fun. Cool.
Yeah, I remember. Mean, you know, go on. You remember what?
Reading. And after Sam Fender played, he did a DJ, like a silent DJ set. And that's what it went on like throughout the whole night. And apparently, like, because you'd have your headphones on. A song would be playing and then Sam Fender would be in your ear being like, ah, oh, that was mint. He apparently played his own songs like more than anything else. Playing, like...
I like that, you know. We could have like a silent podcast-a-thon where everyone just has to like do their best moves while they're listening to band interviews. That'd be quite fun.
It was crazy. I didn't get to do it because you had to pay for the headphones. But like, I just overhear people talking about like Sam Fender whispering in their ear. I was like, what's going on?
You didn't pay for the headphones. What? Did you not have enough pocket money or something?
Was like, so last year it was free and I went with my mates and we all loved the silent disco. But this time I went with my girlfriend and my girlfriend was like, I don't give a shit about silent disco. Well, I'm not going to pay for the fucking headphones this year, then that's fine.
Oh, do you know what? It's really nice though. You actually listened to your girlfriend and did something that she wanted to do. That was lovely.
Well, I made her come to Reading with me, so.
Oh, do you know what? What's your girlfriend called?
Megan.
Megan. Big shout out, Megan, because I'll tell you what. Megan. Have you shouted her out as well? Go on, give her a shout out. Give her a shout out.
Yeah, man, on the towers. I'll do it every gig now.
Do you? That's really nice. Do you know what? You feel special. I still get it. When people thank me, I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
Not at a show, though. I feel like if you shout out this song, be like, this song goes out to my girlfriend. I think that's a bit...
I'll just be like, this song goes out to my number one fan, Megan. And then everyone will go around like looking, going, Megan, Megan.
Have to fans definitely my dad though, 100%. That guy is my number one fan. I have to shout out to him. To be fair,
your dad.
What's
he called?
Mark.
Mark, giving you a shout out on Twisted, Torn and Moist. This podcast, right, is rated 494 in the world. It's streamed in 43 countries, and it's currently in the French charts, the USA charts, the global charts. I think that's it at the minute. It was in the Belgium chart the other week. I mean, it just keeps popping up. So big shout out, Mark. You've gone global now, okay?
Mr. Worldwide, Mark Wilson.
Mr. Worldwide, yeah, I know. Cool. It just, you know what, though? It's really nice to be able to chat to bands and be able to get their fans to get to know them and give you the opportunity to talk about the things that you haven't been able to talk about and be on the same, you know, podcast as Paradise Lost and Heat and other big bands. It's really nice to host you. I don't care if bands have got 10 followers. I don't care if you've got 2 followers. I always try my hardest to, you know, I want to interview every band in the country and then eventually make the world, which I think will be cool. But it's real sad when you look back at the bands and you see how many aren't here anymore, how many have split up. That is really sad for me.
You must have a interesting sort of views talking to so many bands. You must see like a lot of different, like, you must see what happens to them a lot. You have probably more than most people ever get.
Yeah, I mean, I've interviewed probably about close to about 200, 300 bands now, and it's been going, I've done this for a year and a half, more or less, and it's pretty incredible. Oh, I'm in the Apple charts, by the way, number 27 as well. I forgot to mention that. I just thought I'd sneak that in there. But yeah, I meet loads of incredible people. And do you know, I hear some pretty rad bullshit at times, but I'm like, this is cool. It's nice to listen to. I get to meet some incredible people and I get to help the band, which is pretty cool. That's what I really do it for. And, you know, if I can get maybe you 10 more fans, 100 more fans, worldwide fans, then I've done my job. And I like that.
We appreciate being on here. We appreciate you having us. It's really nice of you. On a podcast, I think so. Yeah, it is. It's the first time I've ever done a podcast. I've been interviewed once. I was on a TV, like a not real TV show, but like on a TV show set for someone's university thing. That was weird. That was such a weird experience. It was like being on an actual TV show, except it only went out to the university.
Nice. And
that was so odd.
No, it's all about opportunities, though. And from this, you know, if you come across funny, you might get a few more. And you won't be as nervous next time, because all the podcasts, yeah. I release a few video clips, and I really should put them on YouTube more, but I haven't got time. Yeah. It's just me at the minute. I'm reaching out for like a videographer. So I'm extending the team. So when I go to live events, I can have a film crew that can come and film the interviews, because I aren't wearing like a camera on my head. You know, like when you're at a festival, go, way, tortured. I'm not being called like camera head or something. No way.
Oh, no.
I literally draw the line at that.
And you could be famous for that.
I'm throwing a camera on my head.
It could be your thing. Like, you know, do you know Nardwuar? The interviewer Nardwuar?
The camera, that looks wrong. That looks wrong on every level. That's not what it was meant to look like. Anyway, back to the band. So, Tarrows, where are you in terms of an album?
We're going to be releasing an EP this year. That's our plan.
Yeah. Right. When are we looking?
So we've got obviously the single, most recent single, Hey, came out last Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then in probably end of March, we'll have our next single. And then in the middle of the summer, we'll have another single. And then sort of near the end of summer, we'll release the EP.
Okay, I'm with you. Nice. Right when the weather's going to be nice and people are in their cars, driving to nice places, they can just have that little ear cuddle in their ears. It's great.
An ear cuddle with our
listen, spike. That's what my podcast is. It's an ear cuddle. It's an ear cuddle of reassurance. People that text me and say, I listen to you when I go to sleep. I listen to you when I wake up. I listen to you when I'm in traffic. I'm like, cool. I haven't had anyone listen to me on the toilet yet. I'm sure people do.
They're just not letting you know.
No, probably not. So if there's anyone out there that listens to me on the toilet, you know, just get in touch and tell me. Make me feel good. I can't wait for your album then. Albums cost a lot of money. Have you funded it yourself?
Yeah, we do. I've got all the equipment. I record the band. Like I said, in my shed, we just do it ourselves, because once you get the equipment and you sort of know what you're doing, I think there's loads of great artists who I really admire who do it themselves, like Mac DeMarco, this guy Alex G. I'm a big fan of them, and I was like, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
I saw it on your wall behind you. I've got to say, I love your decoration behind you. I love your posters. I think that's incredible. I think it's great. Yeah. And you know what else I think is good? That you're down the shed doing that. Because I've heard some fair stories of what people get up to that down their sheds. When you leave the old men alone, you should see what they get up to. So it's really nice that, you know, you're actually recording music and you can do it in the comfort. You know, you're comfortable. You haven't got to worry about paying to be somewhere and be pressured. You could do it in the comfort of your own, like, company, basically.
We did a couple songs with a guy where we were in a studio, and it was cool. He was very good. He was very good at what he did. But it was like the time, you know what I mean? The money for time. Like, I'm the type of person who I want to spend like a month working on a song if I can. Like, if I have to, you know what I mean? Like, I want to sit there and I want to be like, well, I, you know, have all the options. But when it costs £1 million to do that, fuck that, man.
I like what you've done, and I think that's really good. And I bet there's a lot of bands that are going to be listening to this thinking, you know what, actually, we can do it. I mean,
you can.
I got the, like, I released a post tonight from August, like, 2022. And all I did, so someone mentioned to me, do you want a radio show? And I was like, no, I don't really want a radio show, because that's, I'm new to this whole thing. I thought, I'll do a podcast. Don't really know what a podcast is. So I put a thing on saying, can anyone tell me what audio recording equipment you could have to, like, record voice? They put some stuff. I went on Amazon. Bought a Zoom recorder, next day delivery, got it delivered. had a look. I was like, what festivals are on? Oh, there's a festival. I went. I remember my first interview. I ain't got a clue what the buttons do. And to be fair, I still don't have a clue. I just only press record and stop. That's it. And do you know what? Actually, you can do it yourself. It doesn't have to. You don't have to overcomplicate things.
Yeah, I think I think that when it comes to music in this like day and age, some of the best. It's the best time to do it yourself. You don't need a tape machine. You don't need it. You just need a MacBook or any sort of computer, like Logic Pro, or even GarageBand. Like something free like GarageBand, you can use it. I remember when I was younger, I used to record music on Audacity, which is like
I use that for my pod. Audacity.
Like try and make tracks on that, which you can do. Mine were any good, but you can't. There's people who know what they're doing on it.
You know, I still don't understand Audacity. I found the war where like someone swore my podcast like wah, to like war it out, and then like noise profile and a few bits. I mean, my interviews were unedited. The only time I edit is either when someone said something they didn't want it in there. I mean, you know, we all say things, stupid things at times. And I can edit it out because obviously it's your career at the end of the day. People's mouths do get a bit loose, but 9 out of 10 times I just don't edit them. I don't even play with the audio. I just release it raw because the idea is I want people to feel like they're here with us. All the people that can't get out, perhaps due to mental health or disabilities, or they just don't want to come out, or the anxiety that behind going out, I want them to feel like they're involved, like they're sitting around a table with us, you know, just earwigging in a pub. Because I don't think they should miss out. And I think it's really nice to give that to them.
Yeah, man. That's the best thing about podcasts. I remember during lockdown, I used to work. I really hated this job. I used to work in a warehouse, like 12-hour days. And, you know, it was like proper lonely work. Like you spend the whole day driving up and down aisles. And if you're caught talking, they'd fucking bollock you to no end. So obviously you would chat as much as you could, but there was a lot of it just driving around, just stacking boxes. Thankfully, I don't work there anymore. But I used to just bang out podcasts and it made it doable. The job went from being boring and nothing going on to just me like, you know, if I wanted to learn about something, about music, there was so many music podcasts. I think I learned about how to record listening to this podcast called Tape Notes about how artists like the 1975 and just loads of artists record their music. And I'd learned how to do it whilst working in a B&M warehouse.
That's how you do it. And there's a lot of bands, younger bands that are going to be listening to this thinking, let's have a go. Let's have a dabble. And you've just made it become a reality for them because perhaps they wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah, I wish I'd started earlier. That's my thing. If anyone is listening to this and they're young, there's this guy in Bedford. His name's Alfie Templeman. I'm pretty sure the guy started when he was 13 and he's incredible at what he does. He records it all himself. He's a very, very talented young man. And I sit there and I go, why the fuck did I wait so long? Do you know what I mean? I shouldn't have waited so long.
22, you're a spring chicken. You're speaking to the 50. What, your whole life ahead of you, man? What did you want to do? Come out the womb and start singing? Be like, yeah, I'm going to record this.
The earlier, the better, you know. Pop 5 years old, laying down, do it.
There you go, guys. It's never too late. But make sure you do it, like, the earlier, the better.
Well, when you're learning an instrument, I remember my dad said to me, he always wanted to learn one, but he never had the, like, opportunity. And I got the opportunity to learn one. I was like a lazy kid. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to play Skyrim all day. That was all I wanted, was to play Skyrim. I was addicted to it. And my dad was like, it wasn't a guitar. It was cello, actually. And he was like, just give it a go because you'll regret it when you're older. And he was right. Like, I'm so glad that he like got that, because that led me into playing guitar. And I found guitar a lot easier because I played cello.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can't play any instrument. I tried to put my friend, right, he's in a band called Midnight City, and he's the bass player, and he's an incredible guitarist as well. And he sat with me for like 6 hours and deemed it I was just incompetent. And I'm there blaming my hands. You know, I played him till my fingers bled, and I still couldn't get anywhere. So I ended up sitting in my bedroom, putting like Wonderwall on high volume and just pretending I was playing it. My mum was like, oh, that sounds lovely up there. Is that you playing it, Joe? Yeah, mum, yeah. I was there strumming my guitar whilst Wonderwall was playing full blast. Yes, I'm playing it. And in terms of Skyrim, mate, let me tell you, I did not know. I just kept walking around the same mountain. I couldn't even get up the mountain. I'd get to the end of the game, you know, like where you can't get through anymore. And I'd be like, this is useless. And I just kept walking around the game, just literally walking forever. I didn't even know there were quests.
That's one thing about those games. It's like, you can just walk around and have a great time.
Oh, I didn't have a great time. I didn't have a great time because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Seriously. But, you know, it's really nice that we can chat like this, because how many times can you actually just chill and relax and, you know, have a damn good time?
You know, it's always important. It's always good. It's always good to just chat and just fucking do anything. Anything relaxing is good, you know, especially like the old.
What do you want to do, right, in terms of gigs and festivals? Who do you want to play with? Where do you want to play? Is there anywhere in the country that you want to play?
Everywhere. I really, nothing makes me happier than when I've got 2-3 gigs a fucking week or something. Like, nothing makes me happier than just doing it as much as possible. I love it. I like it. It's serious to me. And you have to, if something's serious to you, you have to, you know, it's a job. You know, I got to be doing it a lot. And I love it. So, just anywhere. We've played all over the UK, but we want to play more all over the UK.
Right. So where do you want to play? If you can go anywhere, where would you like to go?
I'd like to do we haven't played a proper festival yet. That's something I want to do. Anywhere. Any sort of festival I'd love to do. In some old bands I've been in, I've played a few festivals and they were great, and I'd love to do it with it being my project.
Yeah, okay.
Something that because I wasn't involved in the writing in those bands, so I was sort of just like a session musician, it felt like. But doing something like what we've done, that would be great, to just play some more festivals. I'd love to play, obviously, like, everyone loves to play Glastonbury, Reading. Reading's a big one for me. Download any of them, really. Okay.
Anyone that'll love you, yeah. Well, listen, we'll put this out there, and festivals these days are actually, they really do support up-and-coming bands. You know, and obviously bigger ones. It's really refreshing to see Download's lineup, because if you look at Download's lineup, at first I was like, I haven't heard of half of them bands. But the beauty is that actually by the time Download comes round, you actually know the bands. I mean, they've just put Busted. I love Busted. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Download it. Oh, Download. Yeah. That's who I'm excited for.
Who are you excited for?
Stone Age. That's
Stone Age.
Be great. Download was the first festival I ever went to.
Really?
With my friend, my drummer Taylor. Yeah, he was like, and it was before I really listened to heavy music, so I didn't really know that many people. Like, come, and I was like, all right, I will, and it was great. I had a great.
Good. I mean, that's nice. You seem like a really close knit bunch as well. You know, there's three of you, isn't there? So there's Taylor, the drummer, and then who else have we got in the band?
We've got Nate, who plays bass, and then me, Matt, who sings and plays guitar.
Nice. And, you know, you clearly spend a lot of time with each other outside of the band as well.
Yeah. Well, me and Taylor went to school together, so we've known each other for ages. And then Nate has always been, like, around in the not only the music scene, but also, like, just they've known my friends in Bedford already. So, I met them through friends. So I've known the guys for a very long time, yeah.
Nice. Okay. So who came up with the name?
Taylor, I think. Yeah, okay. Taylor did.
And what does it stand for?
So we want it to be called the Tarots, like tarot cards.
Yeah, so Tarots, isn't it that?
But there's already quite a few artists called Tarots, like spelt like Tarot. So we were like, oh, if we then just called it, we're like, what would we spell it? Like Sparrows. Just because you need something like that people can... Like, if you look up the Tarots, spelt how ours is spelt, we're the only band spelt like that. So we wanted something that when you look it up, there's not 100 bands that come up.
Yeah, that's why I did my Twisted Tone and Moist, because if you put that in.
Yes, no, that's not going to... Yeah, that's true. That's smart. Yeah, it was definitely... And I like our name because it's like... it reminds me a bit of like old 60s bands for some reason. The Beatles or The Turtles or... the something I don't know, it has that sort of vibe, and I'm a big fan of that type of music, so.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like Shoot to Kill, you know, like Tarots, the arrows, like,
yeah,
I love it. I think it's great. Like, I can vision like So who was it? Was it like one of the kings that had like the apple on his head and someone had to shoot it off?
Oh yeah, like some Robin Hood shit. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's what I think about when I think about tarot. Your mind takes you everywhere. It's like the tarot, you know. It's like a spell. I like it.
Hell yeah. My favorite band name of all time is the Arctic Monkeys. I think that was such a choice of a name because it's so like when you actually think about it, what it makes you picture, just a monkey in the Arctic is stupid as hell. But when you say it, you're like, yeah, the Arctic Monkeys. It sounds cool. Think about it. It's the stupidest fucking name ever.
Yeah, there's no monkeys in the Arctic. What are you on about? There's penguins and polar bears, but there's no monkeys.
Pretty cold monkeys. That's what it was.
Brass monkeys. You could do like a side project, the Brass Monkeys, Arctic Monkeys tribute band. They're just a bit colder than us. So where are your next gigs then?
We've got one coming up in Bristol on Saturday. And that's playing with before the Tarots, I had a band called The No, and like the Tarots play some of those songs that I wrote in that band. And it's actually with our bass player from that band. When they went off to uni, they were like, yo, they've got a new band up there called The Freak Show. And they just asked if we wanted to open up for them. It's our first time playing in Bristol.
Where are you playing in Bristol?
Yeah, never played there, but I've been there quite a few times.
Where was that? I didn't quite catch that. Where was that?
Bristol.
Yeah, what venue?
Oh, the fuck.
Okay.
It's named up the Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. I had to think of. I was running through all the American states right there, so I could get to that one.
Nice. Okay, so playing there Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
And then we have a few more gigs this month. We got another one in Esquires, I think, on the 23rd. That's in Bedford. And then, I should have looked before I came on this podcast. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. And if you want, follow us on Instagram or TikTok because we share it all on there and Facebook and everything. So, because I clearly
have. Your other members have dropped you in it, really, because, you know, there is three of them. So the other two are the ones that deal with the gigs. That's what you need to tell everyone. Don't stress.
Yeah. I just turn up. I have no idea why.
It makes this release easier then, because I am going to think, I'm going to put it out before such and such date. You know, I always trip myself up and I'm like, oh, I have a bit of a backlog because I interview 6 or 7 bands a day sometimes. You know,
yeah.
I've got about 300, 400 bands that have applied and I'm like trying to do my day job. I work 30 and 14 hours a day sometimes. And I'm just like crazy. I come in and I'm just trying to slot them in because I don't really book that much in advance either because life changes and things happen. And I don't like people having to commit and feel anxious about missing these events. So I do it a couple of weeks in advance just so that you kind of know your schedule then, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Have you got any pets?
I had a dog.
What was he called?
Alfie.
What was he called?
Alfie.
Oh, Alfie. It's all right. Yeah. I was like, puppy. Alfie, what? Oh.
He was lopsided.
What do you mean lopsided? Did he have like one leg shorter than the other?
He was running, right? He couldn't run in a straight line because his arse was lightly to the left. So he'd run in them. Like a diagonal line everywhere.
I like that. He's like on the skunt, just like
he was, like it was the weirdest dog going. It was just always doing like he was tiny and he hated other dogs and he would fight every dog he ever saw. And he was just this tiny little thing. And it wouldn't matter what it was. He'd go for it and you'd be like, fuck, every time you saw a dog, every time you took him for a walk, you saw a dog, you just the embarrassment. It was he's running at them, lopsided, snarling. And he's about this big. What's going on? What's going on?
You're like a woman in the pub on Last Orders. You know, some of the women you get in the pubs, like just running, trying to fight everyone. I like that, though. Do you know, it's stuff like this that you don't get to hear on mainstream interviews and things. And that's why I like, you know, you asked earlier, I do love speaking to people because you kind of get a taste of who they are as people. And like, no matter what, I always find something incredible about each and every person that I interview. You know, I'm still waiting to find a boring person. So many people have got such a back history of what they've been through. You know, you were talking about your previous bands and your cello days. They've really shaped you as a person. And when you listen back to this, it's quite nice to have that recorded. You know, if you're having a down day, to go, you know what, I've really come far with this.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, actually, I guess. I never thought of it like that, but yeah, I guess that is right.
Yeah, you haven't had a day where you wobble and you think, oh, I haven't achieved anything. Just play this back and say, actually, look what we've done.
I was dog shit at cello. I was real bad. Like, it's funny now I'm in the band. I also, to be honest, I really couldn't sing either. Some say I still can't.
Well, you know, it's a matter of opinion, I suppose. I've listened to your stuff and I liked your stuff, so I think you can sing.
I'm mostly taking the piss, but it was definitely, I mean, at the start, I was a singer in a band in school because no one else wanted to do it. You know, I started a band. I was like, guys, we need to start a band because then we'll be cool, guys. Come on, guys, we'll do it. And like everyone was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm like, who's singing? It ended up having to be me because no one else would do it. I was like, fuck.
At school, do you know what I did? They wouldn't let me sing. They wouldn't let me be part of the show. My mum and dad and like brought my nan and my granddad along for this like school play. And they were dead excited to see me. And then, do you know what I was? I was dressed in black. I was the one who ran on the stage and moved the chairs when the lights were out.
Bloody hell.
I was like, mum, did you see me? And she's like, no. Because you were in pitch dark. And I was wearing like all in black. And then I'd be the curtain puller. They were like, you've got the most serious job, pulling the curtain for everyone to come out. Who sneak up, babe?
You know, what would they do without you, though? You're the oil that run it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of people in the music industry that feel forgotten at times. And it doesn't matter what role you play, whether it's merchandise, whether it's driving some, you know, a driver, whether it's an audio person at a gig. There's always people behind there that get forgotten about. And it's really nice to celebrate every single person that's around there and just say, actually, every person's got a job role and it's just as important. We're all a link in a chain, aren't we?
Yeah, 100%. We have that in our band. We think that because it's like there's a lot you hear about bands being like, oh, the principal songwriter or like the leader or gets like the lead singer gets like more money than the rest, which doesn't make any sense because you can't do it without your band.
Absolutely.
Because you're the mouth of it. It doesn't mean you're the most important part of it. You're just the fucking one who won't shut up.
Yeah, I like it. I love it. Right, well, listen, thank you for giving your time up. It's been lovely to chat to you. I look forward to following your progress. And if you want to do like an album EP launch or whatever, or, you know, drum up a bit of exclusivity, do a bit like that, you can launch it on my pod, whatever you want. I'll have you back on. Because I think you've been ace. And I can't wait to meet all the other guys. And hopefully we can meet in person at some point.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I do a general knowledge quiz as well with the bands. I'm trying to find the cleverest band. And no one's ever scored 10 out of 10 yet.
They'll be good at that. I'll be terrible, but I think they'll be good.
You can be the overseer. You can be like the chaser. You can be the organiser.
Okay.
Well, anyway, listen, look after yourself and good luck. And I look forward to following your progress.
Thank you. All right. See ya.
See ya. Bye.